Hello, welcome to Have Roots, Will Travel. My name is Lisa Elvin-Stoltari, and I'm a genealogist and a passionate traveler. This past year, we've been exploring Les Filles du Roi in individual biographies. We are now on episode number 90. Join me as we explore another Filles du Roi. If you're new to the channel, my video called Les Filles du Roi, the Program 2.0 is on the playlist. Have a look at it if you need additional resources to kind of understand what the program was all about. It's about 20 minutes. It should provide you with some key information so you really understand what your ancestor went through. So this week we are looking at Andrée Romandière, and she's interesting because of this fact. She is no longer listed as a fille du roi on the PDRH website. She is listed under Peter Gagne's book, which I refer to, and I'm kind of doing his all of his girls, if you will. But I just want to make that notation. And the reason why she has been taken off as an official fille du roi is because she came across with her mother. And so that makes her less of an orphan, if you will. She didn't come alone, she came accompanied, and that's kind of a disqualifier. But as I say all the time, even though she might not technically be a fille du roi, she is someone's ancestor, and we want to make sure we honor her contributions. So let's get started and get to know Andrée. So Andrée would have been born about 1651 in the parish of Notre-Dame-de-Cogne, which is part of La Rochelle, the city of La Rochelle. And she would have been baptized at Saint Marguerite, which has some connotation with Protestant. So again, it is something to explore, to look at. Let's talk a little bit about La Rochelle. It was founded during the 10th century. It became an important harbor in the 12th. Until the 15th, La Rochelle was to be the largest French harbor on the Atlantic coast, dealing mainly in wine, salt, and cheese, the things that we all love. The name La Rochelle was first recorded in 961 as Rupella, from a Latin meaning little rock. La Rochelle has one of the richest histories of all the towns in France, from its beginnings as an area where the Knights of Templar had their strongest base. Now, Eleanor married Henry Plantagenet in 1152, who became King of England as Henry II in 1154, thus putting La Rochelle under Plantagenet, or English rule, until Louis VIII captured it in the 1224 siege of La Rochelle. During the Plantagenet control of the city in 1185, Henry II had the Vaucler Castle built, remains of which are still visible at in the Place de Verdun. And from 1568, La Rochelle became a center for Huguenots. It was in La Rochelle that the Protestant revolts occurred and created the uprising that would become known as the Siege of La Rochelle. Throughout the 1600s, the Huguenots were expelled from La Rochelle. And do we know if Andrée was a Huguenot? We do not know. But, like I said, where she was baptized, that's kind of gives us a clue that maybe it's possible. Now, I also want to draw your attention to a place called New Rochelle in New York. Guess who founded that? The Huguenots. As they came across, they came to New York, they founded that town. So it's kind of an interesting little tidbit of history. Let's find out when she came to Canada. Andrée came to Canada with her widowed mother in 1666, and the name of the ship still eludes me. And she brought with her £100 as a dowry. Now, the groom that she selected and who selected her, his name was Thomas Rondeau, and he was born in about 1638 in the village of Saint-Chulé. I think that's how you pronounce it. It's a commune found about 7 miles east of La Rochelle. It's actually a part of the metropolitan area now of La Rochelle. This area of France is part of the Charente-Maritime department, and it is the region of Nouvelle-Aquitaine. The name of the town, just to give you some idea, relates to Saint Soul, who was a virgin martyr who died around 290 AD. The Church of Saint Laurent, which you've shown on your left, has existed since the 10th century. I'm assuming this is where Thomas might have been baptized. Saint Sulpice's castle mound of Roche-Berté dates from the 10th century. This is and was used for surveillance. Look at the passageway, the pathway. It is a place of passage to Nantes and Poitiers. The middle picture, that is actually called Le Treuil Secret, and the secret trellis. In the 14th century, a vital secret agreement was signed during the Battle of La Rochelle here. So, and it gives you some idea of how the little pin drop gives you an idea. His parents were Jean Rondeau and Marie Forestier. So we do not know Thomas's journey to New France, but we do know that on October 31st, 1666, they were married on Île d'Orléans. Regular viewers know that Île d'Orléans is a place we return to time and again, just to give you an idea. It's located in the St. Lawrence River, about 3 miles east of downtown Quebec City as the crow flies. The island was one of the very first parts of the province to be colonized by the French. And a large percentage of French Canadians can trace their ancestry to the early residents of the island. It's really been described as a microcosm of traditional Quebec and the birthplace of Francophones in North America. It was actually known as different things. So I will always want to make sure that you remember that. It was known as Grande Île, Sainte-Marie, Saint-Laurent, and finally, it was changed to Île d'Orléans in honor of Henry II, the Duke of Orléans. And so just to give you an idea of that evolution of the name, obviously you can see by the picture on the bottom, the green and how beautiful it is. I also want to draw your attention to this map here that gives us those six quadrants or six sections of Île d'Orléans. It's not one cohesive island. It's got six different parishes. So it's important that you know which parish your people came from. Was it Saint-Laurent? Was it Saint-Patrick? Was it Saint-Famille, which is the oldest? That part is very important to know. I threw that picture up there. It's actually a fromagerie, which is a cheese making place. So when you visit this island, it's really really kind of like a step back in time. So number one on my bucket list next year to see. So the family does settle at Île d'Orléans, and this is the 1666 or 67 census, I would think. And we have Thomas Rondeau, he's 29, and André Ramaudière, his wife, 16 years old. And they have already 4 arpents à valeur, so they have about an acre or two of land. And I just want to draw your attention that her mother lived down the road, and she had married a man when she was there. And so René Rivière and Mathurin Croisé, they are living basically as neighbors. So they would end up having 15 children, which is a remarkable feat. But remember, she was 16 years old. So their firstborn would pass away at 13, Mathurin. Then we have Thomas, who would pass away at 3. Elizabeth married Pierre Leclerc and had 14 children, 13 of whom made it to adulthood. Marie would marry Philippe Noël and have 12 children, 5 of whom would make it to adulthood. Françoise would marry Claude Dumas and have 12 children, 7 of whom made it to adulthood. Ursel would marry Jean Boussier and have 10 children, all of whom made it to adulthood. François would marry Marie-Anne Descoux and have 4 children, all of whom would make it to adulthood. Favier would marry Marie Delevaille, but did not have any children. And then there is an unnamed child. Marie-Charlotte would marry Pierre Côté and have 6 children, 4 of whom made it to adulthood. Jean-Baptiste would unfortunately die at 21. Claire died in infancy. Thomas would marry Marie-Catherine Bourgneau and have 2 children, both of whom made it to adulthood. Anne would marry twice, but did not have any children. She would actually move to Acadia and passed away outside of Quebec. Wanted to throw that one in. So 1681, let's have a look at where they're at. Thomas Fondu is 44. André is now 29 years of age. Their children are listed, Elisabeth, Marie, Françoise, Ursel, François, Madeleine. They have one gun, 6 bezacons, which is 6 goats, and they have now 10 arpents. Her mother is still living very close by with Mathurin, who she married. So André would pass away very early. She died at the extraordinary age of 51 on November 21st, 1702. Thomas would live on until he was 83, dying, but he did not remarry, November 10th, 1721. They would have been married 35 years when she passed, and they are both buried on the island of Orleans. It's a final tribute. When you go on the island, there is a beautiful monument to the original families, and we have Thomas Rondeau and André Remondière, and he was established on Île d'Orléans since 1663. So that is our kind of proof that he was on the island ahead of her, about 3 years ahead. So that's the only thing that I can see, but just a remarkable tribute. And if this is your ancestor, to stand there before knowing that they also stood on that land would be a remarkable thing. They are both buried, by the way, they're both buried in the cemetery of Saint-Pierre. I neglected to say that in the previous slide. And as always, want to recommend La Société des Filles du Roi et Soldats du Carignan, which is a membership organization. If you can prove your ancestry to a fille du roi or a soldier. And we also have Les Filles du Roi Descendants, which is a Facebook group that I absolutely adore. I think it's doing some wonderful things. And we have Migration, which is a site, I believe, from France, which I turn to every single time I can, because they truly, truly have so much information about Les Filles du Roi, and it's a labor of love for these people. And you can clearly see it. So have a look at that. I've included the links for you on the bottom. And with this, we end episode 90. I want to acknowledge André's contribution, because she left France at the tender age of 16, got married to a significantly older man, and produced so many children. And she has she's in the top 10 in terms of the number of descendants, the top 10 that I created on a list. She has 164 descendants as of 1729. So you can imagine how many there are now. So just amazing woman. And just, she died way too young. She gave everything she could to this new land. And for that, we thank her for her contribution and her sacrifice. And I will see you on episode 91 on the next video. Until then, please subscribe if you like this video and click on the notifications alert so you get notified. And until then, au revoir.